The Athletic. Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End, a Watford podcast brought to you by The Athletic, where, hey, we like to share our lives as fans of Watford Football Club. My name is John, with me is Michael.
All right.
And Jason.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot more happier than Saturday.
Oh, aren't we just? Because Watford have just won away at Norwich 1-0. You know that, and you're probably as excited as we are, because it was a... unbelievable. I can't think of a brilliant analogy of where one thing's gone from one thing to another thing. We're like a butterfly. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. Caterpillars on Saturday, butterflies tonight against Norwich City. Mike, is that the biggest game of our season?
Yeah, I think so.
Just easy to say because it's the latest game? Really, is it?
Well, I've been giving it a lot of thought, it won't surprise you to know, and I've been weighing up tonight, and I thought if we lose tonight, then the others can sniff blood. Swansea more than Brentford, because they've been on a bit of a poor run, but if we lose, I felt that people would sniff blood. I thought if we got a draw, that would be enough to go into Saturday and make Saturday a very, very big game, win that, and we'd be very much in control. Win it, and we'd be... In dreamland, really, as close as possible to going up. So I think this was a pressurised game as a result of what happened on Saturday. It was a poor performance in a massive game at a massive time of the season. They've put a bit of unnecessary pressure on themselves today going to what looked like the champions-elect. They just made it harder than it should have been. And if they hadn't turned in a performance tonight, it would have been a very, very nervy three games, probably.
I see that as, I think for us, you are talking about the others and how they're viewing it. I saw a loss tonight as us losing the wind beneath our wings.
Yeah. Can I just stop? Yeah. Can I just stop for a minute? And I'm aware that I sound a little bit morose, a little bit flat, a little bit level, a little bit sort of pragmatic. That was all before the game, and that's self-preservation. Okay. That's me trying to sort of rationalise everything and try to enjoy this run-in somehow. I'm so, so pleased, so excited, so impressed, and so proud with that performance tonight. I didn't want my mood to be misjudged, by the way. I was a little bit sort of scientific, me, never scientific, but you know what I mean? I didn't want to be my tone to be misconstrued. I am absolutely bouncing off the walls with that. And I think the reason is because I think it was such a massive game, and I think it was the biggest game of the season. They made it that, and they responded. That's what everyone said about Saturday. They had to respond, and they did it majestically.
They responded and then they did it some. Jason, we were, several things came out of Saturday. The midfield wasn't quite right and it was great that we saw some changes. But we literally saw more from Watford in the first 10 minutes than we did the entire 90 minutes against Luton. Those was it purely down to those midfield changes for you that opened up that Watford team to be far more expressive than they had been in the last, against Luton and several games recently?
Not just, I think a big part of it, obviously, we talked about Will Hughes is much better when deployed as the deep midfielder of the three. So that certainly helped, I think, having Cleverly back from the start with his energy and passion and fire. I think that helped. And an experienced man in Dan Gosling, who been there, done that, worn the T-shirt when it comes to the championship promotion race. So, yeah, that was a good start to have those three there. I think also comes down a bit to what we talked about on Saturday, where Luton's first thought was to stop us from playing, whereas Norwich's first thought would have been to try and win the game themselves and play the way they want to play, which afforded us a little bit more room, a little bit more space. They've got full backs that like to attack that allowed us to attack ourselves predominantly down the right, which obviously isn't a surprise.
You know what? It did feel that a little bit, because it was at one point really early on, it's like, have Norwich never seen Ismaïla Sarr play a game that he's like a massive outlet for us? Because he had a lot of room and had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I think they didn't. Obviously, Luton pressed us hard and pressed us high. Norwich didn't do that at all. What Norwich seemed to want to do was to just stick bodies in the box and just sort of stop whatever Sarr was doing, stop it from coming into the box. And it didn't quite work because whilst they had bodies in the box, Gosling's late runs into the box were causing them problems. And he was finding those little pockets of space. And that's why he ended up with a chance to have a hat-trick after about 15 minutes. Unfortunately, ended up with none.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the man who scored the winning goal a little bit later on. But Mike, in terms of the change in the defence, God love him, Craig Cathcart. He's a proper footballer. He's not Kiko Femenia, but he did try, didn't he? But defensively, his role in that, when you saw that lineup, where did you feel more secure? Did you feel more like we were just going for the draw?
No, I felt secure. I think that's a really good word. I did feel slightly concerned. You know, Femenia and Ngakia, very, very good championship right back options, and to have neither of them available against a team who's been absolutely brilliant for most parts of the season is obviously a concern. You know, they've got flair players who can beat a man, players who, that if you switch off, can score from distance, and decent striker in Teemu Pukki in the box. So you're never totally secure, but what you know you're going to get with Craig Cathcart is someone who knows how to defend. He knows the art of defending. He's been around the block. He's, you know, vastly experienced at international level. He's played a lot of games at the top flight for Watford. He's been around the block. He's played at every level. So you know what you're going to get. And I think at this stage, that was... when we're talking about a third choice right back, effectively, and, well, not he's not a right back, obviously, but so down to our third choice, to have someone like him with that level of experience was pretty good, I think. And what we know we get from Craig Cathcart is he just does the simple things well. I've said it time and time again. If there isn't a pass on, he's just going to put it out of play and then reset and deal with the throw-in, for example. Meat and potatoes, and that's absolutely fine. I haven't got a problem with that at all. And yeah, obviously it wasn't as fluid and as comfortable as it might have been with either Kiko Femenia or Jeremy Ngakia there. As a sort of stand-in, as a makeshift right-back, I think... He's obviously not a right-back, but as a makeshift right-back, I think you just can trust Craig Cathcart, can't you? And I think, as it proved tonight, and the fact that Sarr got into the game so much, I think, you know, you have to take some credit for that whole right side.
Yeah, I mean, there were moments when, knowing that it was Craig and certain balls were played across, and when you're watching television, you can't see the whole game, and they're played across to the right hand, so I think, he's not going to get there, he's not Kiko. Oh no, he is there. Yeah. But there were other occasions where him and Ismaila were like passing the ball down, and it came back to him, he goes, no, you can have it, I'm not running past you. But he was here, he was there, well, just up and down the right hand side. Jason, did you think there was a step up, you know, with Gosling over there supporting Ken, was there like a step up from the left-hand side, sort of knowing that the right-hand side might not be as effective as we've been getting used to?
Not just Dan Gosling, but Adam Messina as well. Also, we were delighted to see him back in the side after the difficult performance that Lazar had on Saturday.
Difficult watch way? Just difficult to watch or difficult in terms of what he did? No, difficult to watch.
Everything. Anything that could have been difficult was difficult for him on Saturday. So having Messina back, I think, accounts for that as well. But I think both of those attacking midfielders gave support to the wingers tonight. So I think Gosling was probably more about those late runs into the box that I mentioned. I thought Cleverley actually supported Sarr more than Gosling was supporting Ken, and I'm assuming that was because Cathcart was going to sit deeper and not attack as more. Sarr needed someone else to support him to sort of play those triangles, play those 1-2s and try and get behind the defenders. So I saw that happening more on the right-hand side than on the left. Having said all that, I think Cathcart still got forward more than Kiko did on Saturday anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, that's the interesting thing is, again, we've talked about Gosling in the first half almost, you know, having the opportunity for a hat-trick. Pedro, Mike, really didn't, apart from the goal, which we'll get to in a minute, you know, he hasn't been really imposing himself on these games. And it's sort of, I always think of it, you know, well, yeah, he's not really part of it as much as we've known him to be. And we're waiting for a moment. We're not quite getting a performance.
I think his role has changed, and I think we've been... His role hasn't changed, but our reliance on him has. I think for the first half of the season, he was the only flair player. He was the only spark. He was the only one that really looked like he was going to do anything interesting, exciting or entertaining. So we were quite used to a lot of things going through him and him having to be the catalyst for anything fun, basically. And I think as this run has progressed, this turn in form has progressed, the change in formation, we've managed to draw in more and more quality from other parts of the pitch. Will Hughes is one, and Ismaïla Sarr is the obvious other one, who was back to his ferocious, marauding best tonight down the right. So there's less focus on him playing down the middle. That just tends to be the case, I think, with that role. When you're playing down the middle, the ball is there less. It's just the way it is. And yes, I definitely agree. He doesn't look as, not happy, that's not the right word, but as engaged, involved and influential as he did. But we've won this game 1-0. As I've said, one of the most important games of the season. 1 goal in it. And would we have won it without João Pedro? Beautiful ball for Gosling to score the goal. So we hear it time and time again. When we were in the Premier League before, when we've had our one-year sorties into the Premier League, we've generally acquitted ourselves pretty well and been undone by a couple of bits of quality. It's our turn now to have the little bits of extra quality, and people like João Pedro bring that. And it only needs to be one bit. It only needs to be one flash of skill. It only needs to be one finish. It only needs to be one ball to be the difference between promotion and staying in the division. And João Pedro provided that tonight. I've got no doubt of the importance of him. Any defender that switches off because they're focused on Ismaïla Sarr with João Pedro around is going to have a pretty rude awakening. So I know exactly what you mean, and you are right. It'd be remiss of us not to pick up on the fact that his involvement is less, but that's not to say it's any less important. Such a great player, such an important player throughout the season, and I think it's really vital that we recognise that.
Did you ever feel, Jason, under threat in terms of Norwich scoring a goal? I know there's always that thing of their pressure, but defensively, as a unit, they showed what we have come to know, and it's yet another clean sheet.
Yeah, I mean, did we feel under threat? I think as a Watford fan, but I think as any fan, when you're watching a game when you're only one goal to the good, you're always going to be worried that someone's going to just a slip, a mistake somewhere, and it could let someone in, or a piece of skill or magic from the opposition. And they have players that can make that happen. And the way they set up with Pukki is a lone striker. He's going to be mobile, sort of moving across the pitch, running the channels, sort of stretching defenders where he can. And Wendia and Cantwell seem to be sort of given free roles as well, and are sort of popping up all over the place. What we did really well tonight, I thought, was that we held our shape when Norwich was sort of looking to move the ball around. And there were times where they got towards the edge of our box, tried to play through balls, tried to play it in behind defenders in the middle. And we had all the gaps covered. The centre-backs did a pretty good, solid job again, as we know they can do. But the guys dropping in from midfield as well, filling those gaps, making it really hard for Norwich to penetrate and get in behind and create decent scoring chances, which they didn't do. I think, again, Backman, I think he had one or two saves to make, but there weren't any quality class saves. I wouldn't say he saved us at any point in the game. I don't think they had any chances where you'd say, should have scored. I think we held pretty firm.
And the substitution is Michael. We know how healthy our midfield is at the moment, and how the choices are abundant. Chalobah came on for Gosling, and Zinchenko came on for Cleverley, purely from the fact that it was a high tempo game, and they haven't played a huge number of minutes, especially Cleverley. Chalobah, you know, really lifted it. I felt,
yeah,
and really pushed the game forward.
Oh, unbelievable. And I think before we talk about, you mentioned, we have mentioned the midfield, but Cleverley, Hughes, Gosling, were absolutely terrific. That little trio, listen to me, like I'm like a proud dad. that trio were sensational tonight, and I think they were so important in setting that early tempo that they didn't let up. And a word for Gosling, great finish for the goal, and what a signing he's proved to be able to come in and play that role, because we got it wrong, didn't we, on Saturday with the decision about who comes in and where they play. And you did, you know, when you see Gosling coming in, you question, are we going to have, and Cleverley and Hughes, are we going to have that drive? Are we going to have that verve? And absolutely we did. So I think you've got a hat tip to all three of the guys in that midfield. I thought they were all absolutely brilliant. But yes, John, sorry, to answer your question, probably for the first time this season, I thought Chalobah was sensational when he came on. And I was sort of reminding myself of what the club had said in terms of injury. And they mentioned it was an Achilles problem. So, you know, any chance to remind you that I have had myself an Achilles injury sustained at Vicarage Road, saving a penalty from Tommy Mooney. But so I thought, right, he's going to be potentially out for a little while. So to see him on the bench was a surprise, but his performance when he came on, absolutely, I thought, sensational. And yeah, lifted it, absolutely, John. And coming, you know, with 20 minutes to go, Norwich up against it, they started bringing substitutions on, attacking substitutions, looking to try and obviously wrest control back and to threaten us. But it actually went the other way, and there was a beautiful ball through from Chalobah to Andre Gray. Just sublime. The weight on it was, you know, look, Siri, show me perfect through ball. And that was it. That's sort of like the cheat mode on FIFA that you can't do anymore. That it's perfectly weighted. And yeah, I think he's bounced back again, hasn't he? Because when he's missed out previously, he got suspended, came back and was great. He's missed out and come back and has been great again tonight. I'm really impressed with him, and yeah, you're right to highlight him, John. I think I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And we questioned perhaps Sisko and his substitutions. Can he change a game? Can he manage a game? Well, he you have to hand it to the players. They're the ones that cross the white line. But changing the way he did at that time, it paid dividends, I think, didn't it? I thought Chalobah was absolutely superb, and probably, you know, if Gray had taken it first time, it might have been a more comfortable win. But yeah, he was great.
I think we just need to make a correction, Mike. Yes, you did save a penalty from Tommy Mooney at Vicarage Road, but the injury was sustained with no one within 20 yards of you. just to make
clear.
That clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jase, I don't expect you to understand.
Oh! Neil Quick, but Rangers won. Come on!
Oh my gosh! Come on!
89th minute.
Does that mean QPR can catch us now?
We'll get back to that when it's the final score.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
Mike's surname is Parkin. His son called Arlo. And after Watford winning against Norwich, we had to get his views. This our feature, Michael Parkinson.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome once again to Michael Parkinson. It's Arlo. Arlo, how are you doing?
Good.
You're good. We have just watched Norwich City 0, Watford.
One!
That's right. Watford have won at Carrow Road. I just want to really get your feeling. How do you feel about that result?
I feel like it could have been a lot better.
Oh, right. You're hard to please, like your dad.
No, I don't feel like it could have been worse. I feel like I'd have been happy with a 1-1 draw, but
I see what you mean. So it's like a bonus. You'd have been, if it had been worse, you'd have still been happy.
Yeah, to come away with a win at Norwich is quite an achievement, because they're top of the league and they haven't been beaten in a while.
So here's one last question then. Can Watford catch Norwich and be champions?
Well, if I'm honest, I'd say small chance.
Yeah.
Can definitely do it, because we're Watford and we can do anything like we did in the FA Cup semi-finals, but we don't know the same players, so it might be a little bit harder, but I do know we're going back up.
Awesome. Arlo, thanks very much for joining us.
Bye.
Mike, you know, the big talking point, I think it's actually brilliant for our mental health on our WhatsApp mm-hmm. group, because we haven't been talking about this game too much. We were talking about the European Super League and all the stuff that's gone with it, and it seems to have fallen apart completely completely this evening, which is a jolly nice thing. Two good positives, Watford win and something stupid like that also happens. But you asked a fantastic question on our Twitter account, at Watford Podcast. If Watford were going to make a breakaway, which teams would you want to Watford to take with them? What responses did we get?
We said a mini breakaway, didn't we? Say which five teams would you want to be playing week in, week out? And there's some really lovely ones, and I've tried to sort of capture the range that we had here. I love this one from at Rardinus. Great games from history: Kaiserslautern, Levski Spartak Sofia, Plymouth, Corinthian Casuals, and Sunderland. You couldn't get more varied and intriguing than that, could you? With a couple of away days thrown in. But I love the sort of the historic thread running through those ones. Damien O, Demon Scott on Twitter: Charlton, London Beers; Brighton, Beach Beers; Luton, Derby Beers; Villa, Train Beers; Forest, Night Out Beers.
I did read that one. I thought, oh, actually, could we pick teams near really good breweries and make our way, you know, make our way to away games, and a little trip to a brewery on the way.
There was one I loved as well from Paul Willett. This was a visual one. You know, I like my visual stuff, and it was just a picture of the purple cobras from Dodgeball. Is it the Monstars from Space Jam?
Yeah,
the Jamaican bobsleigh team from Cool Runnings, and the Mighty Ducks. Now that would be a terrific Super League to be a part of, I think. But I think my favourite, and probably he took it the most seriously, but it probably does make sense. Jonathan, who is Johnny_B_UK_Oz, so I assume he's in Australia.
That'll be my brother then. You can't pick that as a favourite.
Go what on, what did he done, say? Michael? What did he say?
How are you, my favourite Bailey? So he's gone with they who shall not be named: Luton, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, God, QPR, and Wolves. And what I loved about this was this whole Super League thing is about stifling competitiveness, isn't it? And making it as easy as possible for the clubs to earn as much money as possible with the minimum effort. Well, Johnny couldn't have picked five more prickly ties than that. Can you imagine playing Luton, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, QPR, and Wolves for all eternity?
I can't. I mean, I love those ones. And in my head, I was trying to pick. I haven't picked mine properly yet. But I was thinking, you need one that's really personal. And I think that's a good one for me, because I've always said before on the podcast, an away trip to Brighton is brilliant because I get to go and see the in-laws. I look good. I tick two boxes in one weekend. I think you do need a rivalry. And I saw everyone with Luton. And I sort of go, no. I mean, yes, but no. No, but yes. And I end up going, no, I'm going to stick with Bournemouth. Because then you get two trips down to the coast. And, of course, there's always that thing. You know, you want to make sure you have a good trip down to the coast in the sunshine. If there are two teams on the coast, we've got double bubble chance of getting an away game during the warmer months of the year. Your favourite team, so just a team you just love to play. And I don't know. I mean, I just do love... It's more like, again, I base all this on away games.
Yeah.
And it's about going to the right sort of stadium. And do Peterborough still have a terrace?
No.
They've rebuilt that end.
No. The way end. Then this basically got a non-league club, so we can just go on a terrace. Let's say Chesham, because they're fairly nearby. And then you need like a really, really big club. But Newcastle did come on my mind, but I didn't want to do it because it's a bit too far. So with Aston Villa. Jason, who would you have?
Interesting. There's a few things there, John, where I'd sort of go along those lines. Now, one that I don't think has been mentioned yet was Blackpool. Definitely fancy Blackpool. Oh. Seaside, great night out afterwards.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, you literally, any time of year, you'd be sorted, wouldn't you? Wouldn't have to be summer.
Absolutely. So that was on the list for me. You mentioned Villa. I had Villa as well. In fact, I had Villa and Ipswich because it's like you say, it's personal things. I got a couple of old uni mates that were Villa fans and Ipswich, or Villa fan and Ipswich fan. And they were a bit like we are, a bit self-deprecating at times, never take it too seriously, and have no pretensions of being any higher up than they deserve to be. And I think we're sort of very similar in that ilk. So I'd love to be in a breakaway league with those guys. And Villa Park is a magnificent stadium. Love to go there. So we've got those two in. I also, someone talked about London beers. I had the same thought. We need to have one in London. Again, good beers. I picked Fulham rather than Charlton. I do love the Valley. I think the Valley is a fantastic stadium. But Fulham, with the sort of the walk through the park before and after the game, and sort of Putney, Fulham, the sort of Putney's are nice for a sort of beers on a night out as well. So I'd
God,
that one
we
in.
Sound old.
I know we do, don't we? Have a nice pale ale after the game, boys. Ooh, yeah. And then the last one's a bit left field. And again, I've gone, like you said, John, about non-league and just being somewhere different. And I've gone back to the seaside. My son's favourite holiday destination at the moment seems to be Weymouth. We've been there quite a lot as he's growing up, and he loves it. And he always talks about, because when we were down there last time, Weymouth won promotion from National South in a playoff. So we were on the beach and we could hear all this noise, and the players had come back to the hotel behind where the beach was and were celebrating in the bar in the hotel, and all the fans had sort of joined them as well.
Because
and it was they were in great fun, and I thought, well, why not? Let's go down to Weymouth again. We can have a family day and we can go to the football.
There's two more I wanted to mention. There's one Nemorador on Twitter. He said Shrewsbury, Barrow, Hereford, Workington, and Yeovil. Now that appeals to the sort of proper old school ones,
and quite distant.
Yeah, but
Workington to Yeovil. Wow.
Well, they'll have to work that out, and we might finish top of that league, of course, which is a good one. But I love, just to finish off, Mike Duffy. So Mike, who does the Voices of the Vic podcast. Now, you know, Mike has got a Brummie accent because that's where he's from, and he says Solihull Moors, Birmingham City, Aston Villa, Chelmsley Town, and Lanzarote. And it struck me that sounds just like him getting on the train and hearing the train stops on the way to the airport before going on holiday. You are now approaching Solihull. You are now approaching Birmingham. You're now approaching Aston. You're now approaching Chelmsley, and then you get on a plane to Lanzarote. We don't need to worry about the Super League, because we're just concentrating on making mincemeat of the Championship at the moment, aren't we?
A Watford FC podcast brought to you by The Athletic. This is From the Rookery End.
From the Rookery End is part of the Athletic Podcast Network, and of course, if you are a subscriber, you'll probably listen to this podcast with no advertising whatsoever, because if you are a subscriber, that's what you get. But of course, as we've already mentioned, we mentioned about the Super League, the coverage and the investigation that's been going into by all the journalists that are part of The Athletic. It's been fantastic. Some great podcasts as well on the Ornstein and Chapman feed. But if you do want to get more, and you want more great coverage of football, of all sports, including North American, you can go to theathletic.com/rookeryend and get yourself a subscription. Currently $3.99 for your first 6 months. Works about 14p a day. And you get great coverage, great analysis, with a team trying to find all the angles to all the important stories. So go to theathletic.com/rookeryend to get a subscription today. So, I'm going to say it, lads. I'm not scared anymore. I've hinted at it. I've been talking around it. I felt it a bit, and I didn't really feel it at all after the Luton game. We've got one foot in the Premier League. One foot is in it. That second foot could go in on Saturday, because as it stands, we're on 85 points. Swansea are on 76, can get 85. Brentford on 75, can get 87. So a win against Millwall on Saturday will confirm it, with still two games left to go. Because it's not necessarily what we do. We focus on what we do. We win some football matches, we go up. So if we win on Saturday, we'd win 88 points and we would be going up. Doesn't matter what the others do. But of course, they have to be absolutely spotless in their final three or four games to go. And they really haven't been. Well, they haven't been today, with Brentford drawing after going behind against Cardiff. And we, as you heard earlier on in the podcast, a late goal from QPR meant that Swansea lost.
John, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You said,
am I fed up of maths a little bit? Yeah, carry on.
You've done a great job. You've done a good job, Mr. Mooney. Thank you. You mentioned that you're not scared anymore. How have you felt? Because you're really optimistic. You're much better at being a football supporter than me, in as much as you're able to always take the positives and focus on them. And I will take the opposite and make my own life a misery. So over the last, let's say, week, how have you honestly felt about Watford and getting promoted?
Well, I always have. I think where we differ, Michael, is I do have your moment dark thoughts. they of course they happen, but then I quickly try and find. But then oh, actually this needs to happen, this happened, and then they'll be fine. And what's happened, I think, in the last few weeks, maybe since the Reading game at least, it's felt like, well, we really have to, something major has to happen. So whenever I have those dark moments or dark thoughts, or you watch the Luton game and you go, that's just the worst thing I've seen all season, I then have that moment of, yeah, but all the other games we played are fine. And we've got some draws, and we're not playing another team like Luton, maybe Millwall, but we're going to be playing against teams like Swansea and Brentford, especially after that Luton game when they'd both drawn and they only made one point on us. Knowing that we were going to play them meant they were going to have to be really coming at us no matter what. So we would be able to be explosive and attack them. And we, the way they've been playing, they've never really shown, in the, especially since the international break, a massive run of games where they have, well, they haven't done anything really, have they, since then? That was going to make me think, oh, no, they're going to get a run going. Yeah, the other teams below them have, like Bournemouth, but they really hadn't. So I think I have those moments of, oh, no, that's going to... No, it's not. That's not because that and there's that and that. And I sort of bring myself back quite quickly. And that's what I'm, you know, that's what I always try and do. That's why my optimism, not that I don't have dark thoughts.
Of course.
Just find the positive one quite quickly afterwards.
Because it's all about self-preservation, isn't it, really? We're kidding ourselves, trying to imagine the worst-case scenario
I do have a thing where if I know it's going to go wrong, that's actually, I accept that earlier. Rather than think, oh, no, that's not going to, I don't deny that's going to happen. If I know it's going to happen, I accept that, so the worst thing happens. So 1-0 down at Wembley against Man City, I accepted we were going to lose. So the six didn't matter.
I think the reason I ask is because probably earlier on I felt a little bit silly, to be honest, because I stress about it, you know, lie awake thinking about the permutations. Oh, Bournemouth are a good run. Brentford only have to do this. We only have to do this. Running through it and just making it really stressful and probably quite unpleasant, really. And then I was just sort of sat thinking about it today, and I thought, well, actually, Watford have lost. Was it 2-15 ahead of today? That's 2-16. Ahead of today. And exactly as you were just saying there, John, this is a tremendous side doing tremendous things. We've had, you know, it's been a really incredible season. They've turned around some poor early season form to deliver a quite thunderous, you know, second half to the season. Extraordinary home form.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it absolutely. Is ridiculous. And I just thought to myself, why am I worrying about this? This is the sort of game, and it's sort of, I had this wash came over me of like, these are the sort of games that you die to be, your team to be in part of. This is what you're desperate for your club to be a part of. These big games, a chance, you know, a tussle at the top, take on the sort of who everyone thinks to be the champions elect. And if you do win that, you really are going to be going, looking solid at the bet for promotion. And, you know, we've earned this right to enjoy it. And we sort of try to take it away from ourselves. And is it Michael Bailey, the Athletic correspondent? I saw him tweet this evening. There's a different feel about Carrow Road tonight because it was a big game, an electric game. And these are big electric games that our beautiful, beloved club is involved in. And I know that there's the massive elephant in the room, these mitigating circumstances about not being able to be there. You know, I was thinking about today, ordinarily, you know, we'd have all have booked the afternoon off, or we'd have managed to get up to Norwich. Or there'd be barbecues around, mate. You know, it would have been a big event in the calendar, wouldn't it? We'd have been on the, you know, we'd been together watching it somewhere, there, anywhere. And like the rest of the season, we haven't been able to. But also, I think we're sort of a bit guilty of looking at the permutations that could go wrong and looking about what might happen, or it's going to be typical Watford if we do this. When the reality is, if we don't stop and enjoy these moments, enjoy the games, even if we do lose, even if we had lost tonight, enjoy the anticipation of being involved in a massive game with the eyes of the rest of the EFL certainly on it, and enjoy a team who has put on such an incredible run of form. And I just felt a bit daft, and I thought, why am I trying to suck out the enjoyment from what is a brilliant sort of end of season? And even if we don't go up, we've been entertained. We've competed. It's been football. It's been the football that we crave: competitive, exciting football from a team that we can get behind and identify with. I was so excited about tonight, and I thought, even if we don't win, it's fine. Sometimes as football supporters, I think we need to, I'm talking for myself, but maybe loosen up and as we walk down the fairway, enjoy the smells, enjoy the colours, enjoy the sights, what we're seeing. Take it all in, because, you know, that Norwich game's gone. We'll never have that game tonight. That feeling when Dan Gosling scored, it's gone now. We'll never have it again. And so we have to treasure them. What we've seen this week with the impending, you know, the Super League may or may not happen. It will happen in some shape or form. And we know that competition at the elite level of sport is, certainly in football, is diluting effectively. There's a massive chasm between the haves and have-nots. But we are in the midst of a really competitive, really exciting, really brilliant running. And I think we really need to enjoy it. So it's a pep talk to myself. I've just hijacked the podcast to tell myself off, basically. And I think that's credit to Watford, really. And I just want to say thank you, I guess, for delivering such a brilliant season for us all. And I think I need to recognise how great it's been. And I fully intend, I did it tonight, I tried to enjoy it, and I'll try and enjoy the rest of the games. And just the build-up, I got that little frisson of that. It's been missing this season, of course, because we can't go. But it was there tonight, that little spark. This is a special game, this is a big game. And there are countless clubs who don't get these games. They don't get them very often. We're in the middle of it, so let's really make a pact to enjoy it, I think.
Yeah, and like we say, we win, we're fine. If we match, Geordie just sent a message to the WhatsApp group, if we match the Brentford and Bournemouth game on Saturday, they start and they kick off early, then that would make us promoted as well. So we need a win on Saturday and we're promoted, but we at least know by the time kickoff happens what we need to do against Millwall. And it's at home. It's at a place we know. It's at a place we're pretty, pretty good at playing at. So fingers crossed it can happen earlier rather than later. Just to keep our minds and hearts all tickety-boo. Thank you very much, Michael.
No problem. Thanks for having me, John. Thanks for humouring me, as always.
And thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back after that home game against Millwall on Saturday, where, hey, we might be saying that magical phrase. I can't say it. I mean, that tells you how much optimistic I am. I can't actually say it, but you know what I mean. We could say it on Saturday. Come on, you all!
The Athletic.